Perfect. Hi, hello everybody, and welcome into another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, Season 2, Episode 19, Episode 53 overall, titled Rain Curse Chicago. And indeed, things do feel rain-cursed at the street course, but there's no curses here at Racing Refresh Happy Hour. We are curse-free, I do believe, or at least I sure hope so. Let's bring in the cast of characters that are going to do it with me this week. Let's bring him in. He is the show creator. He is all about it. He is all about John Mayer, Martin Truex Jr., and just being an all-around decent human being. My favorite Canadian for the next hour or so, and yours, Adam Carabine. Come on in here.
You pretty much nailed the three pillars of my life, really, with being decent, John Mayer, and Martin Truex Jr., and not necessarily in that order. So, hello, Logan. How are you?
Depends on the day. Yeah, I hear you. No,
I'm repping the John Mayer today.
I'm rocking Muhammad Ali. So
okay, yeah. You're gonna sting like a bee today.
Yeah. Oh, you just never know. You never know. and after a good meal, I do float like a butterfly. I promise you. All right. Let's. Luckily, there is a lady that keeps us a little bit on track throughout this next hour or so. She is much better looking than you or I. She is Ryan Blaney's biggest fan. She was shocked at Kyle Larson going headfirst into the tires and the wall this yesterday. She was gobsmacked. Her jaw went. Let's bring her on in here. She's got the best brows in the business. Producer Peggy, come on in.
Hello, Producer Peggy. Oh.
Every week it's a weird thing. Okay. What is happening?
Champion.
Well, he wasn't the champion yesterday.
But he still is.
What an odd intro. Peggy, any final words? While you're thinking of that, let's get to Freddie's comment. Freddie, thanks for tuning in. I'm not sure if they have the street course again next year. God, I hope. It's up in the air now. Chicagoland coming back would be nice. So I'm going to tell you about the street course, Freddie. I've got plenty of thoughts on that, whatever that was. Peggy, any words before we get started?
Okay.
I'll take that as a no.
Nothing important.
All right. Well, if it comes to you, just
I have a lot of things to say, just not relevant.
Well, it's never stopped me before, but we the show must go on. We have about an hour here, so Peggy, we'll see you in a little while. It's always a pleasure. God, she's hot. Anywho, let's talk a little NASCAR with our weekend review. All right. Okay, what a start to the show, huh, Adam?
That was we're bringing the heat today.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
It was something. I thought she was maybe mad at Ryan Blaney at first, the way she ripped that open. I thought she was ready to tear him a new one, no pun intended.
I think she picked that up at the Wally, and I don't mean Wally Parks, NHRA founder, but I'm not going to say their name because, well, you know, we've got to be sponsored. But anywho, let's get to it. Alex Bowman breaks an 80 race winless streak. Pardon me. That's hard to get out sometimes. In an absolute calamity that they called a race. It was a thing. It happened. More rain came on down. Monsoon. For you biblical believers like myself, if any more was going to come down, they'd be lining them up two by two real soon. So Alex Bowman won the race. SVG was the favorite. He had issues after Chase Briscoe said, floor it SpongeBob style. Which is what that looked like. You ever see SpongeBob where he goes, floor it? Floor it. And he busts the big toe out the shoe.
I don't really, I'm not, not a SpongeBob guy. Sorry.
Good God. Peggy, come back in here. Peggy, come back in. Time. Come back in here, Peggy. Come back in here.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
This is my dinner time.
What you munching on there?
This is orange chicken.
Nice. But you remember the episode, right?
Yes, and the fact that Adam doesn't means that Canada's a worse country.
No, yeah. Excuse me. Wow.
Yeah, that Canada day. Sorry, Freddie. We love you, but that's just atrocious.
You know what? That is not fair. It's just because I'm older than you, all right? SpongeBob was a little after my time.
Well, get bored and watch it on Amazon Prime or something.
My mom is 51, and she knows SpongeBob references. Well,
I mean, okay, Scott. I know who SpongeBob is, but... Oh, see, there you go. It's not a Canadian thing. Thanks, Freddy. It's just a...
Thanks, Freddy.
Listen, I'm too cool for SpongeBob, all right?
It's just that Adam Carabine, his middle name turns out to be lame. Lame, bud. Lame.
Wow. What is this attack? holy smokes.
All right, Peggy. Enjoy your dinner. just wanted to verify that I wasn't going crazy. all right. So I want to know, what do you think of the Chicago street course?
Yeah. I must admit, Logan, I did not realize that you had this kind of hatred for the Chicago street course. I didn't know this. I'm finding this out in real time right now. And I actually think I disagree with you, although I'm curious to hear your arguments, but I actually enjoyed the Chicago street race. I think it's unfortunate that it's been cursed with rain 2 years in a row, but that's out of NASCAR's control. I think the course is interesting. I think it's kind of cool that it's in downtown Chicago. And I think, you know, it certainly is a novelty. Yes. But I mean, that's kind of what NASCAR does at times is novelty things, and I'm all for them trying something like this out. I would love to see them get another shot in a sunny situation so that we're not having to deal with all the rain, you know, wet weather tire drama and all that. I'd like to see them go at it in dry conditions, but I don't know, that remains to be seen. I don't know if we have any confirmation about next year yet.
Some say the contract was to 3 years. Let's talk about this thing. All right, number one, I agree it was worth a shot. I don't mind trying new things. All right. But you don't get this size without trying a couple new meals. All right. So I'm not ashamed to try new things, but we tried it last year. We tried it this year. Both times we had rain. The definition of insanity, I believe it's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And what should NASCAR done differently? Well, if we're going to do this Chicago makeshift street course where we can't possibly get it in any other day but Sunday, fine. I can live with that. Okay. Why are we starting the race at 5 p.m. Eastern time? I want to know. Because anyone with half a brain knows about that mid-afternoon portion of the day is when you are most likely about to get rain. producer Peggy, who is currently enjoying her dinner, says, I'm the worst at trying new foods. Don't let them lie to you. Once I find what works, clearly I'm doing all right.
My goodness.
Clearly, we I'm doing
some,
fine.
We got some live fact checking going on here.
Clearly, I'm doing fine. I mean, just look, I can afford to miss a few meals. I don't know if I got more chili in my mouth or on my shirt at Skyline the other evening. Nonetheless, my thing is like, all right, I get it. Why are we waiting till 5 p.m. Eastern time, which is 4 p.m. Central? Why are we waiting so long to start the race? Why? Because then we get these astronomical showers that, I mean, frankly, affect the entire portion of the race. And is it fun for the sake of, we had some new people up there. My boy John Hunter had a much better run than his 35th finish would ever show. Yeah, that was cool. That was fun. I was excited. I was thinking I might win a bet. But, I was really excited about all that. But here's the kicker. Why are we, number one, why are we doing this in the first place when we have a perfectly good Chicagoland? We have tracks that are duking it out all over the country wanting to get on the sketch. Kentucky comes to mind. That my old Kentucky home, if you will. And so, yeah, I like the novelty. I like trying new things. Nothing against it. I will try anything once, especially as far as NASCAR goes, because we have to try new things. We have to evolve. We either evolve or go to the way of the dodo, folks. I mean, that's the way it is. But I'm sorry. End this experiment, end this abomination, end it. We did 74 years without a street course. But this is the most astronomical, asinine management I've ever seen. Oh, let's start the race at 5 p.m. On the off chance we could get some rain, we only have about 4 hours to try and get this puppy in. So then we're playing the Rolex 24 all of a sudden, or the 12 hours of Sebring. It's like the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. NASCAR literally in Chicago decides to wipe before they poop. I don't get it. I do not understand it. I don't like it. I'm not a fan. It is one big monstrosity of just stupid decisions. I'm fine with trying new things, Adam. But all right, we got to get that Keith Urban concert in. Who gives a damn? Who gives a rat's furry ass about a Keith Urban concert before a NASCAR race? Blue ain't his color. NASCAR ain't his sport. Get the cars on the track. This is so stupid. Started at 2 o'clock. Let's go. We'll get the full distance in, which we've yet to accomplish in 2 years. And we might have got last year's advertised distance in between the two races. It just stupid. Let's do it at 5, where we know we can't. Exactly, Freddie. They know we don't have lights, so let's do it at 5. Why? And it's 5 Eastern time, 4 Central. And for you West Coasters, you're like, well, I'm just starting to finish off my coffee. I've moved to the top. No.
2 p.m., yeah.
Change it to, when we ought to start races, why not high noon, 1 o'clock? Why not? Adam, listen, I'm going to let you have the floor. I need to breathe.
Okay, I think you should take a breath. Listen, Keith Urban's a great guy. I don't know if you've ever seen Keith Urban in concert. He puts on a great show. He's a great guitar player. He's a friend of John Mayer's. So there you go. I actually once saw them together in one concert, one night only. There you go. I think at a certain point, you're not wrong. I think it needed to start earlier, especially just, even 24 hours before, they have this rule that they can move it. They have to wait till, 24 hours is the cutoff. After 24 hours before, they can't move it. But like, the radar looked like there might be some showers in the afternoon. Bump it forward a few hours. And you know what? Maybe you get Keith Urban to play in the rain after. I mean, that was pretty heavy rain, but like maybe they swap things.
Just send his Australian ass home to his wife. Why do we need him?
Because
let's bump Talladega for Leonard Skinner because we got to hear Sweet Home Alabama for the 75th time.
It's part of the fan experience though, Logan.
The fan experience is the NASCAR race. What do they pay their ticket for? To see Keith Urban?
Well, but I think that's the point is that they, maybe some people bought tickets to this because they're huge Keith Urban fans and they don't really know a whole lot about NASCAR. And then they show up and a race happens and it's fun and they have
and
a good time.
And I don't care about their opinion.
I
don't care. Don't care. Don't care.
Well, I think you should, though. I mean,
a sport, because this is a wonderful, beautiful sport that has thrived for 75 years through thick and thin. Hell, it was the one thing that went through COVID. That's how great our sport is. And all of a sudden, we need Keith Urban, Mr. Pop Country, to come tell us. Oh, come on.
I think it's more just about, like, let's make this an event more than just NASCAR, right?
You know what's the event? Drop that green flag and let's race to the checkered. That's an event. And it did us well for about 70 plus years.
Yes,
that's not going to attract new fans. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when it feels like the pre-race portion of the show is more important than the whole reason we're all even tuned in anyway, you have lost the plot and jumped the shark.
Listen, Tyler Fitzgerald
is right because
he agrees with you.
With me.
But you know what? I don't know. I disagree with you. I think Tyler pull those belts tight one more time.
Absolutely. Frankly, we should be playing that intro all over this country long after DW has gone on to the Lord. We should. I get it. Attract new fans. I'm being a little facetious. I get your point. But when it feels like that's the bigger priority versus the actual race, which is what it felt like the last 2 years, fair?
Yeah.
Then I think you're losing the plot a little bit.
I guess.
Absolutely. Long live Waylon Jennings. I don't care if he's gone. Let's get a hologram going right now. Matter of fact, a Highwaymen concert at Talladega, that place will be packed.
I guess. I mean, did you see that the ratings came in for Chicago? They're pretty good on TV.
I did not see the ratings. Would you like to give us a little recap there?
I know. I was going to talk about this in happy hour headlines, but we're jumping ahead here. I don't remember the exact numbers. Let me pull them up here. It wasn't as good as last year, but that's partially, it's just the rain, you know, it's hard to, I don't know if that counts, right? But the Chicago race was 35% higher than the average NBC race last year. They got 3.87 million viewers. So I don't know, that's working, right? I mean,
yeah, it is. But again, we fall into that, and I know we got to move it along, but we fall into that. Are we selling them something the sport isn't actually? You know, like the Clash. Everybody talks about the Clash of Coliseum. NASCAR's not bumper cars, and that's what it looks like at that makeshift track. So I understand doing something different. I really am not opposed to that. It's that I just feel like we continuously make one weird decision after another. Okay, we had rain last year. We tried to start it at a kind of a prime time of shower. Let's learn from our mistakes, just on the off chance that God, for some reason, said Chicago's having a bit of a drought. You know what we're going to do? Bring a stock car race in there.
That'll do it. Anywhere else that's having a drought, let's plan a NASCAR race.
At 2 Eastern time or even 3 Eastern time. I was telling some buddies, Ryan Hill being one, that frankly, a race should not, if it is a day race, it should not start any later than 3 p.m. Eastern time. It just shouldn't. It just shouldn't. And I know TV's king, and I know U.S. coasters refuse to get up, and I get that.
Yeah, whatever. It's Sunday. We're sleeping in.
I hear you, but I just Freddie could never forget about old Willie Nelson. I'll see Willie Nelson in September, actually.
Really?
I will. Very nice. I'm going for Bob Dylan. I might not see much of Willie Nelson at all. We'll see what happens. Depends on what the merch options look like.
Okay. I do want to ask you this, though, Logan. So I can understand your gripes.
Yep.
5 o'clock Eastern start time. Yeah, should have started earlier. But talk to me a little bit about the rain itself and how the extra strategy that was added, as far as do you run wet weather tires? Do you run slicks? I kind of liked that. I thought it was kind of neat just to, as a sort of contrast to New Hampshire, where NASCAR really mandated this, you're now putting on slicks, you cannot put on new tires, or whatever it was. You know, this was really left in the hands of the teams, which I thought added some great drama and some intrigue into the race. I don't know if you agree.
I absolutely do agree with. NASCAR did learn from their questionable decisions, in my estimation, at New Hampshire, and they left it to the drivers, and that's how it should be. These are quote unquote the best drivers in the world, or at least the best drivers you got to offer, and that goes with the crews and everybody else too. You might as well let them, you know, you might as well let them do their thing. And so I like that added that strategy was huge. For instance, that strategy call gave Alex Bowman a win. The opposite call by Ben Bayshore of Legacy Motor Club cost John Hunter any chance of a decent finish, let alone maybe a win if the right circumstance plays out. So, well, yeah, I love that. I absolutely love, because we need more strategy in NASCAR, in my estimation. And so I love that they let that happen, where in New Hampshire, again, it felt like NASCAR couldn't get out of their own way. Like, we have a great potential scenario here. But again, I was trying to give some grace on that too, because that was a first time situation. And so I'm going to let no one screams at the kid for falling down the first time, even if it seems obvious, like the rest of us has got this figured out. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be like, oh, why didn't it? Yeah. From my layman's couch potato perspective, but they have a lot more to worry about than I do. So yeah, I agree. I thought it was a great, great call by NASCAR to let the drivers and the crews handle it.
Yeah, I loved the idea at the very beginning of the race, where it was like, you get one kind of warm up lap. Tell me, you know, tell us what you think. You can go change to slicks. You can stay on wet, but it's your choice. And then after that, you lose your spots if you want to change anymore. So I thought that's great. That's creative. I think it's a creative way to like put the ball in the team's hands, if you will, and to, you know, give them the chance to dig their own graves in a way. Right. So, and it was interesting because there really were drivers were really on different ends of the spectrum there too. Right. You had someone, I think it was SVG, who was like, this is not ready for slicks. Like I need to be on wets. And then I'm forgetting who it was, but there was another driver who was like, oh, it's absolutely ready for slicks. Like put me out there. Like rain tires would be a mistake right now.
And then Ross Chastain was one that said, this feels like we're on ice. I mean, and so it was great. No, I loved that. That was wonderful drama that the sport needs, and that it really shows the different kind of mindsets of how you're going to play the game, because they've done a lot to take away the strategy of NASCAR. And and so I like anything that brings that back.
Agreed.
And I'm consistent in that in my baseball fandom as well. I've done a lot so when people go, well, is that a consistent view? Very. So I liked that portion. I loved that. I just think that there were some basic things, like, again, where we're too worried about the event prior to the show versus, you know, it's the same thing we kind of thought about the Indy 500, right? Why is all that pomp and circumstance so necessary? We can get these puppies fired. That's what we all kind of sat and thought. Kind of same thing with the Chicago Street Course. So I understand attracting new fans and trying to add a few in, and I get that. But let's not forget what the main event is. You know what I'm saying? So,
yep, that's fair.
All right. Reddick had a late push, and he was closing hard because he was on the slicks. He was closing big time. And he tagged the wall. Adam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I felt bad for him. It was, you know, I think that if he had...
I did not feel bad.
I know you don't care as much, but I imagine that, like, you know, if he hadn't tagged the wall there, I think he probably had enough to catch Bowman and possibly take that win away. So I think that was the end of his, you know, his chance at winning there. I don't know. You say you don't feel bad. You're not a big Reddick fan, is that right? Or
look, I want to try and be fair. I want to try to be fair. Try.
That's all we ask.
But from a personality standpoint, the 2311 team is the most insufferable team I can see in the garage. Tyler Reddick is ready to cry about second place.
Oh, I like him.
I mean, he's probably a wonderful man. He's ready to cry about second place. Denny is Denny, and he is currently the ultimate heel. Bubba Wallace is a polarizing figure in the sport. And so, look, Tyler, I think I'm spot on every night, but that's just me.
I want to know who this Tyler is and how much you've paid him to come watch our show tonight. And
Tyler Fitzgerald was a wonderful friend. Good man. Good man is Tyler Fitzgerald. Freddie Bannister right with me, so you're getting beat 2-0. No, it's just I want to be fair to everybody. Try to be professional. Denny Hamlin, one of the all-time greats. We'll talk about him in the next 75 years of NASCAR. Bubba Wallace is an extremely polarizing figure, and we'll talk about the fact that he in some ways broke a barrier in this sport. Go ahead there, Bruce Peggy.
This is for Tyler.
Okay. That was weird. That was really weird. Tyler about it. Great talent. Great talent. One of the best talents going in the garage today. Top five, really.
Yeah.
But he's pretty insufferable, it seems, when he comes up short. He left RCR in a pretty questionable manner. Pretty questionable manner. Let's just say, all right, it's not something you really want done to you. So,
no, looks like he made the right choice, though. I mean, RCR is starting to. He was carrying RCR, it seems.
I'm not saying it's not the right choice. There's a way to go about things. You know, I'll forever be a little upset at Bubba Wallace about the way he left the 43.
I know.
There's a way to go about it. There's a way to go about it. That wasn't it. Freddie, you're right. He is the greatest to ever win a Cup championship. I mean, think about it. He's one win away from passing Lee Petty in the all-time wins list. He is an absolute. If it wasn't for a lack of championship, he might be the greatest of this era. Yeah, that was shameless. That was absolutely. And I'm not talking about HBO, brother. That was absolutely shameless. All right, let's keep moving along. Speaking of Bubba Wallace, Bubba versus Bowman at the end of the race. Of course, it started early, and you know, Bowman had an issue and got into Bubba and kind of ruined their day. And then Bubba, who seems to be just as much a grudge holder as the rest of us, says, I'm going to hold on to that for several hours.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you know about it at the end there. Got into him on the cool down lap pretty intentionally. We didn't penalize Denny for essentially having a pissing contest with Alex Bowman at the line there a couple years ago, which I believe was Bowman's last win. Back when, you know, Denny was calling him a hack and all those things, and that was the big hubbub. You know, I don't like what Bubba did, but the people kind of compared it to Harrison Burton. That's your Bubba bias showing, ladies and gentlemen, for whatever reason that may be, and because Harrison Burton. Not the same thing. Harrison Burton, Carson Hocevar. Not the same thing. One got turned and went bye-bye like a Super Smash Brothers character when you hit him real hard.
Well, and it impacted the race at that point too, right? Like I know it was under caution, but you're falling back and losing spots because of it.
Yeah. This was an aggressive love tap at the end to show your displeasure on the cooldown lap. The race is over. Now, should that be done? No, he shouldn't have lost his temper. He should manage his emotions a little better. Frankly, if I'm being totally honest, as someone that has followed Bubba Wallace since the start of his career, he's always had trouble with that. Remember, he threw water in Bowman's face when he was overheated, and ended up on Jeff Gordon and all that back when he still drove the 43. Bubba Wallace, I'm referring to. Mm-hmm. So Bubba Wallace has a history of a bit of a temper issue. We all know he even cost RPM a sponsor in the COVID days because he quit one of those fake video game iRaces, and Blue Emo dropped RPM because of that temper tantrum he had. So he's always had issue with that, and he really needs to find a way to keep that in check. He just does. We've seen it with Kyle Larson. Yeah.
Do we need to see him keep it in check? I don't know. I think
I would take
that over, like, you know, boring, just like, oh, that's the way it goes. Okay, end of the race. Bye. Well, like, I don't know. I like to see passion.
I do as well.
If it means that he gets a fine or a penalty for it, then so be it. I mean, that's, well, you know, you make your decision and you with the
let's
consequence.
Have that,
but
let's have that discussion. Should he be fined or penalized? I'm going to say no. I think I'm
also going to say no. And for what it's worth, Alex Bowman also said no. I don't know if you saw that in his post race.
Yeah.
He was saying, you know, I deserved that. I screwed up and, you know, I ruined his race. And so, yeah, I don't think he deserves a penalty. And I think that's a classy thing for Bowman to come out and say. Yeah, Tyler's saying monetary fine, but that's it. I could see that. I don't think there'll be a points penalty.
I'm all right with that. Again, I just when you look at Bubba's history, he does have a history of kind of, you know, having a little trouble keeping the emotions in check. He's an emotional guy. Nothing against that. There's just here's the thing. The people that love Bubba will ignore that history. The people that hate Bubba will spotlight that history and make complete hyperbole of it and be so melodramatic about it, when the truth is somewhere in between. No, Bubba Wallace is not some menace that needs to be parked for 3 weeks like I've seen on the NASCAR various Facebook pages. I mean, that is just completely stupid, if I'm being quite frank. I mean, if he's getting parked for that, okay.
Yeah.
But those same folks weren't too upset about Chase Elliott right hooking Denny Hamlin either. But it is a case of, like, damn, you do have a history, dude, of kind of losing your temper. Can you count to 10 or some shit? So it's both, right? A couple of comments to get to. Father said the thing about Denny is he went on podcast day and he said what Bubba did wasn't a safety issue, but Carson did last week was. How's the driver with the belt unbuckled, potentially no helmet, when not a safety hazard? I agree with you, Tyler. Denny's going to stick up for his guy, his driver. I mean, as almost everybody would, I mean, to be frank. I think nothing more than a monetary fine. And I'm okay if he doesn't get fined. It's not that big of a deal to me. Like, we've seen a lot worse by Bubba and others.
Denny. I feel like Denny's thing with Bowman was worse. Sure. Like,
yeah, because, I mean, literally, he's, you know, they're trying to act like they're locking horns there at the you know, finish line. And that was just, I don't know, I just thought it was immature. But that seems to be an issue for the 23-11 team. They're a very emotional team. They are that. They're an Plus, you still got Kurt Busch that works there. God knows Kurt's emotional. So they're an emotional bunch. I'm not a big they're just, as fair as I can be, they're not an easy team to root for. They are not an easy team to root for. There's something about Tyler Reddick that
doesn't go for you, hey?
It's a little tough. Denny Hamlin is literally doing all he can to be the most hated man in NASCAR. And Bubba Wallace is unfairly criticized and hated, but sometimes does himself no favors.
How about this? There you go. See, that's
worse
than what Bubba did.
You know what's the most fascinating thing in that shot? Look at the water coming out from the overheating.
Yeah.
That's a great shot.
That is, yeah.
All right, in the Xfinity race, SVG got it done. SVG did what SVG does here in Chicago. Yeah. He didn't have that luck. He didn't have that luck Sunday, and that was, you know, I was okay with that because, like, after a certain point, it's like, all right, somebody else get this thing done here. But he proved again, when you stick him on any sort of road course, move over AJ Allmendinger, move over Chase Elliott, move over Kyle Larson, move over whoever you want to move over. If it's a clean track on a clean day and it's a road course, SVG, you can probably kiss the baby. It's probably the way it's going to go.
Oh, not even that. I mean, last year he won in Chicago and it was pouring rain. It wasn't even a clean track. Yeah.
He's a major talent. Now, again, some say he's a major talent. We have a new article on racingfresh.com. If you haven't checked it out, by our own producer Peggy, who speculates on, is SVG the next big star of NASCAR? I don't know. It's going to depend on if he can, you know, master the oval. If he can, we're all in trouble here. Yeah.
Seriously.
We'll be looking like that. We'll be looking like Talladega Nights during the portion where Ricky Bobby leaves NASCAR. it'll be a big damn deal. So will he? I have no idea. Or will he go the way of kind of Marcus Ambrose, who had success, but not the kind of success that you would think all time great, or Juan Pablo Montoya, who, great a driver as he is to NASCAR folk, he's known for, you know, hitting the jet dryer. And he's an all-time great driver, ladies and gentlemen. It just, unfortunately, that's just what he's known for amongst the NASCAR circles. So, interesting to think about that. Any other thoughts on the Xfinity race or SVG before we move it along?
Not really much to say about the Xfinity race. I mean, it was kind of funny just that SVG and Larson were battling for the win, and then they finished last place and second to last in the Cup race.
This sport will humble you.
Yeah.
It will humble you in a hurry. Absolutely.
I shouldn't say funny, but just, you know, interesting, I should say. But, yeah, I thought it was a shame that, you know, SVG got knocked out of the Cup race when he did. It wasn't his fault. It was Chase Briscoe getting out of control and ruining his day. So it would have been nice to see him at least have a chance. But what can you do? Yeah.
And for all you Noah Gregson haters out there, he did not tag the wall one time. But every other Stewart Haas member said, what is that, a tire barrier I see? So credit to Noah Gregson for learning a little bit. Yep. No, it was tough conditions. All right, let's keep moving it along. It's time for our happy hour headlines. Chasing that me on rainbow.
Thing. Mm-hmm. Beautiful thing.
Living that honky-tonk dream. All right, so it became official today. Haley Deegan is out of AM Racing. You know, they tried to kind of paint it as best they could. Thanks for the opportunity, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But clearly it wasn't the cleanest breakup. Josh Berry will be in the car this weekend at Pocono at the Tricky Triangle. What turn four? There ain't one. So Haley Deegan has gone from, it was not that long ago, as I said on the show last week, I believe, that it wasn't that long ago she looked like the obvious fill-in for Kevin Harvick in 2 or 3 years. It felt like that was the destined path. Just walk. And then she won the few K&N series and that got everybody fired up. Truck, she underwhelmed. Let's be honest about it. She underwhelmed. And then AM Racing has not gone well, and then gets the unceremonial boot today after Joey Logano took and got a top 10. I want your thoughts on Haley Deegan. Is this the end of the line for her? Will she find another opportunity? Should she find another opportunity? Should someone give her one? You got anything there?
Yeah, I don't think it's the end of the road for her. I think, she does have some sponsorship money with her, which helps. And I think she's easily marketable because of who she is, that you know, it won't be hard for her to find more sponsorship dollars. But I don't know, I didn't catch this during the race on the Xfinity race when Logano was filling in for her, but I read online that some of the radio between Logano and the team was kind of contentious and interesting, and so this is, you know, take this with a grain of salt. If someone else was listening and they can give me a better breakdown of this, you know, go for it. But I was hearing stuff about how, like, Logano was basically giving some feedback on the car and what he needed from it, and that they almost on the radio seemed a little perplexed as to how to do that for him. And so, yes, we can point out that, like, Haley Deegan, yeah, she has not performed well, and the team has not performed well, but was she put in a good situation where, like, with a good crew chief who knew what they were doing? And I don't want to call out her crew chief and say he's garbage necessarily, but, you know, Logano is a seasoned veteran who came in and gave some, you know, very specific instructions about how he wanted that car to be tinkered with throughout the course of that race. And he drove it to a top 10. And does Deegan have that experience to be able to explain what she needs in the car? No, but also does the crew chief there at AM Racing know how to, you know, give her something better than what she's got, right? I don't know. So I think there's fault on both sides here. And for that reason, I think Haley Deegan will be back, but I wonder if we see her kind of back down in trucks, maybe in some better equipment down in the trucks, and see if she just gains a little confidence and some more momentum. I mean, it's true. There was a time when she was a lock to just be a Cup Series star, it seemed. And unfortunately for her and for, you know, for everyone, I think it just hasn't worked out that way.
Yeah, I think that unfortunately for women in NASCAR, there becomes this unnecessary pressure because let's be honest, NASCAR is starred for a true female star. That is not to take away from what Janet Guthrie achieved, or Danica Patrick, or Haley Deegan, or Natalie Decker, or any, or Jennifer Jo Cobb, or any of the females that have raced in the sport, whether that's one race or hundreds. But NASCAR is so starred for a true bona fide female star that as soon as a female shows any monocle of success at any level of the sport, we start to kind of daydream and push them in scenarios and here, do this and follow this path. When, let's be honest, it's now become clear Haley Deegan should have never left her truck ride. She should have never, she underwhelmed entirely. Just call a spade, no disrespect to her. And it just, once that snowball starts rolling down the hill, it's really tough to stop that momentum. You know, it's the old, once train goes off the tracks. And so she needs to do what we've seen John Hunter do, and we'll see if it worked in his favor or not. And that's not going to be determined for years to come. You need to go down, work the truck series, gain that confidence, be their star, be that series star, be who can carry that flag for a season or two,
yep,
or longer if necessary. I mean, people that are longtime fans of the sport, it took Alex Bowman a long time to get settled in Hendrick Motorsports. If you look at his history, it is quite the resume, both good and bad.
Yep.
Both good and bad. There were times when Alex Bowman looked like a lost cause.
And there have been times in the last 80 races that people have been saying that, you know.
So Haley Deegan needs to go down to the truck series. And like you said, build the confidence. And then whenever she has a season of consistently winning, I'd say at least 3 to 4 races.
Yep.
That's when we can talk about, is she ready for Xfinity? And then same thing. And that's when we can talk about, is she ready for Cup? Haley Deegan is still salvageable. Yeah. Now, whatever your opinions of her may be, because she's got outspoken opinions, she's not everyone's friend. She has said some things over the years that have peeved some individuals. But Haley Deegan as a driver is not a lost cause. But it's time to put the brakes on shoehorning her into situations and thinking, oh, she'll be ready for this now. I mean, we've done it. You and I have done it in chats with our friends. We've seen our buddies say, well, 2 or 3 years she'll be up. Let's stop doing that. Let's see where she is in 2 or 3 years. And if that's still not winning truck races, keep swinging at it. Keep swinging at it. Because, again, going down can save you. Alex Bowman is proof of that. We'll see if John Hunter, that's a to be determined in 3, 4 to 5 years.
And well, even just the fact that John Hunter's got a Cup ride right now, you know, that is proof already that it worked in a way.
Yeah.
You know.
And he waited for the Cup ride that he clearly wanted because he had some offers. You can make an argument. We can debate Legacy Motor Club all day long, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But he waited for what is his opportunity that he decided was good enough for him. And that's what she needs to do. She needs to go find the right opportunity in the truck series and slowly work her way up, because we put all these unnecessary expectations. And yes, she's not performing. Like, I'm not trying to take away. Sometimes we try to sugarcoat and pussyfoot the fact that sometimes a driver's not performing, and she's not, but that also doesn't mean that she's completely lost either.
No, I agree.
Hopefully.
I think the problem is, like, we can blame a certain amount of this on equipment, but I think the best drivers out there outperform their equipment. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're winning all the time, but it just means that you've got a 20th place car and you're running it 15th every week. That's absolutely great. That's a win, right?
You know,
and I don't get the sense that she's doing that. I get the sense she is running where the car is or worse.
Yeah.
And that's going to change.
To kind of close a thought on her, it is a tough situation that AM Racing just put her in these past few weeks. Because if you think a 2-time champion and probably first ballot Hall of Famer is not going to outrun her in any equipment.
Yeah.
That's a stretch, folks.
It was destined to look bad on her.
You know, I think it would be, and this is not disrespect to Josh Berry, it would be a more apt comparison if we're comparing Josh Berry's run this week to what she's done in that car. That's not knocking Josh Berry. It's just his resume is not Joey Logano's.
Yeah.
Joey Logano is going to Hall of Fame of this sport.
AM Racing also wanted some better data to work with, you know, and so someone like a Josh Berry might not have been able to provide that for them. So
we'll wish both the best, and we'll see how Josh Berry does in the 15 this week, and we'll keep you updated on what happens with Haley Deegan going forward. I don't think this is the end of the line for her, but
me neither.
It's one big speed bump, no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Carson Hocevar was fined $50K and out 25 points from Nashville. Appropriate penalty or no?
I think so. I mean, I don't. It's hard for me to say that, and then also maybe stand up for Bubba Wallace not getting a penalty. But I do think they are different, you know. And one of them is during race conditions. I know it's under caution. I don't remember actually whether Harrison Burton was given his spot back after that. I can't recall, but it's not really the point. It's just one of them was a little more dangerous, you know, and put Harrison Burton in a tough spot there. So I don't know. I think, you know, you throw the book at him right now and see what happens. I don't, I'm okay with it, to be honest.
He's a young kid. This is his first full-time season. Of course, he had a lot of cup starts last year in the 42, but this is his first full-time season. He's learning. And so he had a moment there. Well, let's hope he doesn't make a habit of it, because Carson really is a likable guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Yeah,
he's a likable guy, but let's hope he's a little more accountable going forward. Finally, Thad Moffitt. Boy, you talk about a strange story.
It's weird.
It is strange. Thad Moffitt's got better finagling moves than Haley Deegan, it appears. No disrespect to Haley Deegan, but so it's
it was another week. We'll see.
It was announced today by Young Motorsports that they've acquired the 46 number, the number 46, which is Thad's number in the next petty lineage line, 41, you know. So that was interesting. And they are fielding an entry for Thad Moffitt this weekend at Pocono. There's no confirmation they'll continue to do this or if this is a one-off or anything like that. Bob Pockrass of Fox Sports was, of course, on the case.
Yep.
Very strange, because Faction 46 was just launched this past December. You know, it was based in Oklahoma, and they got help on building the truck from Nice Motorsports and a little bit from Petty's Garage, the one-time home of course, Petty Enterprises. So just a very strange situation. Then he kind of unceremoniously gets the boot for Dawson Cram last week, who runs better than Thad certainly has all season. No disrespect to Thad, but let's just be honest. And so, and now he's going to get at least a one-off shot at Young's Motorsport back in the 46. I don't know what to make of this. Am I, like, as a petty guy, am I glad that he's getting one more opportunity? Yes, but my goodness. I mean, you talk about going around it here. I don't understand how this works. I don't understand if that means Faction 46, which again only debuted in December. I don't know if that means they've gone the way of the dodo, or is that it, or they just need a couple weeks to regroup and find new sponsors and a new number. And I say that because a lot of the sponsors they had were based on Thad/Petty. It was, you know, and so those connections there, and I would assume that when Thad leaves, then so does the Petty's family's kind of leverage. If I can help you here and here. You, as an unbiased party, sir, what do you make of this weird situation?
I mean, yeah, we talked about Haley Deegan and, you know, kind of underwhelming in her performance. I mean, Thad Moffitt's right there too. I hate to say it. I know you're a big fan of the Petty family, but he didn't have a whole lot to show for his time in the truck series. And so I don't know. I mean, I'm more of the mind that you should give him the whole season at least to like run it through. You know, there's certainly a learning curve as you start, you know, give him a chance there, but it is weird. I don't know. This Faction 46 has kind of just evaporated, and who knows what even it was or is going to be. It's like gone now. But also, yeah, I don't see what Young's Motorsports is going to get from this either. Like, I don't see what their end game is here, other than maybe just acquiring the number. But I don't know. It's just, it's a weird situation.
Yeah, it's, you know, because keep in mind, if you, because you would think kind of similar to what we're seeing right now with the LA Lakers, you get Bronny, you get LeBron. That is not the case with Thad and Richard Petty. Richard Petty isn't exclusively dealt with a Toyota team, Legacy Motor Club. That is the team he's associated with. This is still another Chevy team. They can't do a whole lot together due to legally binding contracts and all those sort of things. You didn't see the King out with Faction 46 at all. And I don't think that's going to change with Young's Motorsports. And I say, and I know everyone's got differing values of what the King brings to a team nowadays, but I'm saying you could see a truck team trying to prop themselves up next to him when they can't legally do that. While they're a Chevrolet team and he is affiliated with Toyota thanks to the Legacy Motor Club Association. Very odd. Very, very odd. I'm putting the finishing pieces on an article that'll probably be on Racing Refresh, I'm going to assume, tomorrow. All right. Kind of looking at it. And if this is Faction 46, very, you know, very short tenure, we'll see if it's a – we'll see how long it lasts or if they'll be back. Because, you know, and I would say – in about three or four races, if they're not on the entry list, they've probably gone bye-bye.
Yeah.
We'll give them a couple weeks here because maybe they're trying to regroup, get a new number, new driver, new sponsors. But, yeah, very odd. Very, very odd. Mm-hmm. All right. Ryan says, how's it going tonight, guys? Not too bad, buddy. Not too bad. Thanks for tuning in. We're getting ready to bring it home with a few other things. But first, let's talk about one John Force. We didn't get a real health update, but we're getting some photos of John in the hospital. And all things considered, he looks well.
He looks all right. Yeah. There it is. That's him and the family. You know, considering all he's been through in the last couple of weeks, he's looking all right. He's got a smile on his face. So I don't know what more you could ask for in that sense. And
Nothing's going to hold that guy down.
That's true. It's true. It's nice to see him surrounded by family, though, and doing as well as he can right now.
No, the fact that he's upright and smiling, taking photos, I guarantee in those wee hours in the hospital, he's starting to go, I think I can get back in the funny car yet.
He's probably thinking, how fast do you think this bed could roll down the hall?
I know that probably in a couple weeks, a couple weeks in Washington is a no-go, and probably Sonoma, but what about after that? What do you think? we were wishing him the absolute best. He looks well. Absolutely. Glad that we're seeing some more photos and that he appears to be very much on the mend. Of course, he still has a very, very long way to go. All jokes aside, great to see him doing well. All right, with that, it's time for our weekend preview. Ooh. Oh yeah, right back in Lightning McQueen's trailer, as I like to call it. So all three series return to action at Pocono.
Do you like Pocono, Logan? Do you like Pocono? I'm interrupting you a lot tonight. I'm sorry, but
sure, it's all good, brother. It's all good.
No, I don't know. I like Pocono. It's been better in the next gen, I think, but I've found Pocono to be sometimes a bit of a snoozer. But
I liked in the old days when it was a real fuel mileage race. I liked because that's where you saw some surprise winners. And as you know, fandom aside, I like that. Whoa, didn't see that coming kind of move. And so.
Right.
I like the fact that it's always been a few mileage race, stage racing has kind of taken that out. But I like, because I mean, that's where Chris Buescher got his first win. A lot of people forget that. Obviously, that was due to some rain and issues like that. And I believe Joey Logano might have scored his first win there as well.
Wow. Why don't I just check the archive here? The old stat chat machine. I can tell you who got their first win.
So it produces some different
units. Chris Buescher. Ryan Blaney and Denny Hamlin got their first wins there. So no Joey Logano.
It produces some new winners, some different things. And so I like that. I like, and that's no disrespect to the great teams that compete every week and kick hind in. That's awesome. But it's fun to see new winners. And so I like that. And I feel like Pocono gives us a chance for that. Whether that be due to weather or just the fact that it's a little different. It's got them long straightaways, no turn four. Like I said, in the old days, it was a bit of fuel mileage race. We'll see how it goes in 2024. Yeah, I like Pocono, all things considered. I'll tell you, Ryan Hill, I know he's not a fan of Pocono.
No.
There's a doubleheader at Iowa for IndyCar. And then NHRA continues to be off. I believe F1 is off as well. So any thoughts there, Adam, before we move on to racing the fresh picks?
No, I don't think so. We should start wrapping things up here.
All right. That means it's time for racing refresh picks, and I want to see this scoreboard. Okay.
Joey Logano's first one was New Hampshire. I knew I had it written here, but was looking. And also just wanted to say, we had Chris Buescher won that race due to fog. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was the winner this week, you know. Should we bring in producer Peggy?
Absolutely, we should.
I submitted my pick from afar because I wasn't here. Come on in, producer Peggy. Don't be shy. I picked McDowell, and you know what? It was kind of a must-win race for him. He didn't win, but P5 got me the win this week, so that was nice. Logan, moving into P1 as far as our overall standings. And
you see how y'all try to stop me?
Oh, here we go, yes, with this very interesting layout again. I love, you know, that's how they should do the ticker on the side of NASCAR as well. Just random order. You just have to
figure it out.
Use your brain there.
Don't act like you dumb. Come on now. Yeah. this year's been more of a challenge, no doubt, but I've enjoyed closing the gap, and hopefully we keep, but now that we have the lead by a skinny score, 1 point, hopefully we can keep widening it.
Hey, you know what? It's a tight race. I'm catching up here. To you guys.
It's going all right. What's the picking order this week, sir?
Logan, just kidding. Sorry. Producer Peggy gets to pick first.
I'm going to take I almost said Kevin Harvick.
Well, if he's in his race, I'm stunned too.
Yeah, you're welcome to pick him if you like, but it's not going to go well.
I'm going to take AJ Allmendinger.
Okay.
Is he in this race?
I believe so, yeah. I think he's in the 16.
Okay. I posted the intro, though, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But
Logan, you're up next.
Got to take him at some point. I think I'll take Austin Dillon.
Austin Dillon. Oh, you know what? I think you've already picked him.
Have I?
You did for Texas.
Oh, pardon me. Yeah. All right. In that case, let's go Harrison Burton.
Have you picked Burton as well?
Not according to your list.
Oh, so you are checking the list now. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go
Harrison Burton it is. And I am going to pick, what are we at? Pocono?
Yep. We're getting tricky.
I know. I'm gonna go with Ty Gibbs. You know what? He's been knocking at the door.
Yeah, yes, he has.
He's due.
I think he's gonna win before the year's out. I don't know if it'll be before the playoffs or not, but I think he's gonna get a dub this year.
I know. He's been having a good year, you know. I think So there you go. Stay tuned. Next week, we'll let you know if Logan can hold on to that lead, but I'm hoping not.
Absolutely. And speaking of having a good year, we've been having a good year. And to continue that good year, we got to end this episode. That means it's time for closing time.
Producer Peggy is in shambles.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached that point in the show where you don't have to get off the internet, but you do have to leave this particular link. So, with that, producer Peggy, final words.
Oh, I got a doozy. Okay. AJ Allmendinger's crew chief. No, sorry. Cody Ware's crew chief. That Cody Ware.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Billy Plord. Billy Plord.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me that's not Billy Lord, Carrie Fisher's daughter, undercover as a NASCAR crew chief.
I got nothing, Logan. You go for
it. I am gobsmacked, folks.
That's quite the pull. I'll give you that, Peggy. That's a good pull.
You guys know Billy Lord, Carrie Fisher's daughter.
No, not really.
Not super well, but you know what?
She's an actress. She was in American Horror Story.
Well, you're over here acting like I got her cell number. No, I don't know her.
Carrie Fisher, like from Star Wars?
Yeah. Her daughter.
Did you just say Carrie Fisher from American Horror Story?
Billy Lord was in American Horror Story.
Oh, okay.
Who the hell is Billy Lord?
Google Billy Lord. She's an actress like her mother, Carrie Fisher.
Okay.
And Cody Ware's crew chief. His name is Billy Pollard.
What in the blue hell?
The same, just with a P in front.
Again, this is going to make the best of edition of Race Refresh as we march toward 100 episodes.
It must
be her.
So
Billy Lord, the actress, is Billy Pollard undercover.
Well, we wish her luck this weekend in Pocono.
Yes, cue up the Pink Panther theme. Adam, final words.
Oh, boy, I'm not sure how to follow that. But we got some... The Freshies, I've been very busy lately and I have been neglecting my duties. So the Freshies are back. They're coming up tomorrow. We got. Oh,
what we got is lag.
Are you there?
What we got
Either
is
I'm
lag.
I'm frozen or you're frozen.
You are frozen.
You're frozen.
All right. Well, take him off screen, would you, Peggy?
You're going in timeout.
Take him off, thanks. All right, so with that, it's been another lovely edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. We hope you've enjoyed it. Producer Peggy, I hope you enjoyed it. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah.
All right, so with that, we hope you enjoyed Chicago. We hope you enjoyed Pocono, and we hope it just stays dry. Come on, Ma Nature, help us out a little bit. And until next week, we'll see you at the next track.